What's up, everybody? Welcome to Cooler Talk, presented by Arctic. I am your host today, John Harris, and I have with me... No, that's just me. You got me for Cooler Talk. Everybody else taking a Friday to go get themselves mentally right, which basically they get a little start on the weekend. You want to get your questions in. We'll talk about anything that's going on with the Texans. A lot of things going on with OTAs. I brought my my notes. If you could see them from here, you could see all the notes I have from OTAs. Look, not a lot going on. It's a passing camp, of course, no contact. But I think one of the best things to come out of OTAs has been the presence of Deshaun Watson. He's been able to participate in certain aspects of it, and that's the great part about OTAs. Because there's so much going on. There's individual, then there are one-on-ones, then there's seven-on-seven. And then there are team periods. Now, with team periods, he's completely stayed out of those. And that's to be expected. To keep him out of team periods, look, there's so much. Even with what happens with no contact at all, look, somebody could trip and fall, and he's making a throw, and he steps, and then he steps on top of an ankle, or he steps on top of somebody falling down, or somebody gets pushed back into him. You just don't want that to happen. So he can do things like 7-on-7, where there's no rush, but he still gets the drop, run the play, find his open receiver, go through his reads, all those kind of things that he can do, and he's been able to do that. So been really fun to watch him back at OTAs, amongst other things. So we'll get into some of that, but I get some of your questions right now. This first one from Tyler. He said, how did Kiki QT look during OTAs? The one thing that stands out to me, and it's funny, I listen to a lot of local sports radio, and it's interesting that they're talking about OTAs and yet they didn't really see it. But that's a different story altogether. But they were saying, I don't buy anything out of OTAs. Look, there's only so much you can sort of take out of this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, the offensive line looked physical, the defensive line was rushing so hard. Because those things you just don't know. But some of the things that you can tell, you can look at a guy's quickness. You can look at with a receiver in particular, how he gets in and out of his breaks. Does he catch the football with good technique? Those kind of things. Those are things you see with Kiki QT. You see natural receiving instincts. And something as simple as when the ball's above his numbers or his thumbs down, if it's down below or his thumbs up. Those are simple things that you can see with a receiver, and you can tell he's just natural catching the football. For a slot receiver to be natural catching the football, that's big because their game is predicated on catch and run, catch short, run after the catch. Well, a lot of guys have to body catch, and because they have to body catch, they're not in a position to get upfield and get as much as they possibly can. Look at QT because he can snatch the ball out of the air. First of all, you can trust him. You can put the ball out there away from a defender a little bit. He's going to catch it and run and get upfield, and that's pretty much the hope. But look, he's got a ways to go understanding what to do. The slot position is very difficult because a lot of that is not, this is the play call, this is what you do. A lot of it for him is, here's the play call. If you get this, then you do this. If you get that, then you do this. But if you see this, then you got to do this and that. So there's a lot of things that he's going to have to learn how to do on the run. And sometimes you're not going to be able to see all that during OTAs. You're going to see some pretty inventive coverages at the NFL level. So I think he's looked very good. Most importantly, he's looked very comfortable. Some rookies, they come in and you go, well, what are you doing? You got no idea. This guy is so far removed from what the veterans look like. He seems to fit right in, so that's kind of nice. This is from Jerry. Which UDFA, undrafted free agent, has made the most surprising impact? I would probably say the running backs, even though, look, there's no contact up front. But watching Terry Swanson and LeVon Coleman, they're getting a lot of opportunities because there's no Deontay Foreman, there's no Tyler Irvin. So it's basically Lamar Miller, Alfred Blue, and then Swanson and Coleman. And Swanson had a great career at Toledo. Excellent career, especially his last year. He backed up Kareem Hunt, who was the offensive star for the Kansas City Chiefs this past year, led the league in rushing. And he was his complimentary back. And then when Hunt went to the NFL, Swanson stepped up and became the guy. Coleman's a bigger guy, 235 pounds. Doesn't really look like it, but man, he runs hard. And they're getting a lot of reps. I like the way both of them look. They give you different looks, but I like that for this team. And who knows, one or both could end up making this roster. But Swanson is quick. Man, he is quick, and he is really fun to watch. So he's probably one guy that's, as an undrafted free agent, that has stood out more than the other. Two guys to keep an eye on, Nick Thurman and Kendall Calhoun. Those were two guys, Nick Thurman, a defensive end from the University of Houston, and Kendall Calhoun, a tackle from the University of Cincinnati. Those guys are ones that earned contracts after being tryout players. Now, the Texans have had a few of those. Corey Moore was a tryout player a few years ago. Chris Thompson, wide receiver, was a tryout player. And to me, if you impress the coaches enough as a tryout player in rookie minicamp, then you've got something, and you've got a pretty good opportunity to at least be one of the practice squad members. And then, look, the way it went last year, if you were in a practice squad, you got an opportunity to get on the 53-man roster. So those are two other guys to keep an eye on. This from Rodolfo. What do you think the week one starting offensive line will be? I've been on record saying this a few times. I think that Julione at left tackle, I think the left guard will be Senio. Senio will be the left guard. I think center will be Nick Martin. I think the right guard will be Zach Fulton. I think the right tackle. If I had a question mark, that would be it. I'd like to see Chantrell Henderson be at that right tackle spot because he's so talented. And man, he's a massive dude. When he walked through that door, the door that's behind a camera right over there, he filled that thing up. He is a massive dude. When he gets in a huddle, he towers over everybody. So it's just a matter of, is he physically, mentally beyond what was troubling him in Buffalo? And can he get back to where he was in 14 and 15 when he stepped in the league and was solid? And that's really what you just want a guy to be solid. Last year, right tackle spot was not even that. It was not very good. And like I said this before about watching Julio in the last two games, if you watched that and you said Julione Davenport left tackle, Brandon Giacomini right tackle, one of them's a rookie starting for the second time, and one of them's been in the league starting for 10 years, which is which? And you would have pointed at Davenport and said, he's the veteran. And you would have been completely wrong. So hopefully Davenport can play at that level. But, again, it's OTAs. You can't really tell the contact. But from a distance, he looks bigger. He looks like he gets it. He looks like he fits in. And I thought he did that the last two games, but the last two games of last year, nobody was really paying attention. So if I were going to Vegas, which I guess you don't have to do that now. You can go to some other states. I guess Delaware now you can do that with sports betting. That would probably be the five I would say. Martinez has been slowed by an injury. I'm not sure what it is, but he's been slowed, so he's not been out there for OTAs. So hopefully he can get back in this mix because Martinez Rankin can play. I was a huge fan of his. I thought he definitely would be a second rounder, so I was glad the Texans were able to find him in a third. And I think he can be in that competition at right tackle, so hopefully he'll be 100% by the time they get to the Green Bar. This from Ryan. Who will be our kicker this year? I'd imagine Kaimi Fairbairn. He'll be the guy. And I'm not going to do what Mark can do. Mark can say his whole entire name. But I would imagine it's Kaimi. Comes back into his second year. Missed the whole first year from an injury, and then came back last year. And look, he looked good early on. Had some tough spots in the middle. Missed some big kicks. One in particular that stands out is the one he missed against the Rams. But he's got a strong leg. I think getting that second year of play, being more comfortable. He can blast it through the end zone on kickoffs. He can pooch kick it if you need to. I think the kickoffs are going to be very interesting to watch this year. But I got a feeling it's going to be Kaimi Fairbairn. I'm not 100% certain why it wouldn't be somebody else. This from Gerald. He said, "What will JJ Watt be 100% for the season?" I think everything points towards that. I mean, if you shook the magic eight ball and you said, will J.J. Watt be 100%? It would say, more than likely. And that's our hope, is that he will be. Now, he's not doing anything during OTAs, but he is getting himself ready. And when you see him, you go, he looks good. He looks good. But look, you don't know. You have no idea what he's going to be able to do until they can get to the Greenbrier and get to training camp and then find out exactly what he can do, what they will allow him to do. How much he'll play in the preseason, we don't know. But I think everything is on track to be able to participate 100% in training camp. And even if he is 100% in training camp, I still think they'll do what they did last year to limit his reps at certain points. I think that actually had him pretty fresh at the beginning of last year, and I think he would have stayed fresh for a while because they did limit the reps that he took at the Greenbrier, which I think is a smart thing to do, and I think they'll do it again. And obviously with good reason, because keeping him healthy is paramount for this defense to take that next step. This from Antonio. This is a great question, Antonio. What are OTAs? OTA stands for Organized Team Activities. What that means is it's practice. Essentially is what it is. It's just an opportunity for, and they give it a different name, but it's an off-season spring practice is what it is. So when we talk about OTAs, We're talking about the team practicing. And the offseason comes in different phases. Phase one is they can get back here to the building and they can do conditioning with the strength and conditioning staff, with sports performance guys and Luke and his crew. Then they can get to a point where they can do some of that. Then they can get on the field and work on some drills and individual stuff. Then they can get to OTAs, which is organized team activities. Essentially, they can go through a practice, and they go through multiple practices. And then they get to mini camp, which essentially is just more practice. So why they have designated it in different buckets, who knows. But that's what OTA stand for. Antonio, good question. This from Samantha. How is Deontay Foreman doing? I saw Deontay probably about, when was the draft? The draft was late April, so a little over a month ago. And I just happened to see him walk out of the training room. And I didn't know who it was. Out of the weight room, Sports Performance Center. And I saw Deontay coming out, and I didn't know it was him. I was like, man, that dude's cut up. And he's kind of wiping his face with a towel, and I was like, oh, that's Deontay? Oh, man. Now, here's the thing. Deontay, a little bit bigger back. That's not news to anybody. Achilles tendon injury, not news to anybody. Those two don't often mix very well. The hope is that he can be beyond it. And it was such a shame because Deontay was really coming into his own in that game against the Cardinals. But he's had to rehab, put himself back together, and man, he looks good. So I know he's done the work to get back. But Achilles are tricky. I remember when D'Amico Ryans tore his Achilles, I remember talking to a few players that had done it prior to, and they said, look, it's not the first year. The first year you come back and you're rusty. It's the second year you feel more like yourself. I hope that's not the case. I hope that Deontay feels a lot like himself this year because he is ultra important to this offense and what it can do. And how much it can expand. Obviously, I talked about it during Texas All Access, and I will tonight on radio 6 to 7 on Sports Radio 610. Talk about Adrian Peterson wanting to come here to the Texans. I've said I would a Lamar Miller, Deontay Foreman mix, if both of them are 100% healthy, to me that's the best fit. Can Deontay be exactly what he was before the injury? Who knows? I mean, the Achilles are so tricky. You can almost rely on an ACL comeback more so than you can an Achilles tendon tear comeback, if that makes any sense. So I've seen him. He looks good. But, again, we won't see him until training camp. And hopefully when we get to training camp, we'll be able to see how Deontay has done. This from Nody. Hopefully, Nody, I said this right. How has Colvin been looking? I love Aaron Colvin. I think he is going to be a fantastic fit on this team because of all that he can do, whether it's inside, whether it's outside. I think he is a tremendous fit. And it's funny, he was standing in front of me at OTAs, and I just kind of leaned over and I said, you look a lot better red, white, and blue than you do in that teal and black crap in Jacksonville. He just kind of chuckled. But I love the fact that you can put Aaron Colvin in the slot. You can put him outside. You know, during OTAs, he was covering a little bit in the slot. Now, there are some OTA practices we don't get to see, so they might be doing some different things. But in this one, he was covering the slot. And what I like about him, there were times last year when covering guys in the slot was not easy for this team last year. You guys know that. You saw that. It was not easy at all. I mean, there were times where whoever's covering somebody in the slot would be yards away from the wide receiver. That's not the case. Watching Colvin cover the number of receivers the Texans have. And look, the Texans can put some speed in the slot now. And Colvin on those receivers like white on rice. So from that perspective, I'm a huge fan of Aaron Colvin. I think he is going to be fantastic. I think he's looked really good. The one thing I love about the defensive backfield, when you add Colvin, you add Tyrann Mathieu, and you add Johnson Batamosi, is I see those guys talking to each other all the time. I see JJo with Tyrann. They're talking, and you can see in the way they're gesturing, they're talking about what they just saw and how to play it. And when I see Aaron Colvin talking with JJo, and I see Kevin Johnson talking with Colvin, and they're always talking ball, and I'd love to see that. I think it's going to be a much better and more cohesive group. I think it's going to be a very competitive group in the secondary. I think that's going to be a bounce-back group in the secondary. This is Robert. Are we hopeful for a full return at the start of the season for Watson? Yes. I think that's, again, sort of like Deontay, sort of like JJ. It's on track to be there. My guess is if he wasn't on track, he wouldn't be doing anything in OTAs. And they're having to hold him out of team. I mean, you can just tell he's standing over there watching the team 11-on-11 periods, and he just wants to be part of that, wants in. But yes, we're definitely hopeful. The question becomes, are we expecting Deshaun? I would say at this point, yes, because if he weren't doing things in OTAs, I don't think we could expect to see him in training camp. So I think we will definitely see him at training camp and be at 100% for return for the start of the season. This from Michael. Michael, do you see us having more joint practices in the preseason? Yes, and I will use another team's information on this because the guy that I follow and have followed for a long time from the CSN Bay Area is Matt Maiocco. And Matt, the 49ers had a press conference, and Matt asked about the joint practices, and the 49ers said, yes, we will be going to Houston to have joint practices with the Texans. So that, using that as information, because I don't know that the Texans have been asked about it. I don't know that Bill O'Brien's been asked about it, but I think that's been out there kind of amongst the social media realm, that the 49ers will be, I believe, coming here for joint practices. I don't believe that's going to be going to the Greenbrier. I think that's coming here for joint practice. So I don't know if there are any others. I don't know if we're going to go early to L.A., which, fingers crossed, we might, but I don't know that's going to happen. I do think it's going to be the 49ers coming here, which is great because I think that's an organization that is taking the next – I mean, obviously, they came here and beat us last year. But I think that's an organization with some young, really up-and-coming athletes. And, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. So you get a good look at a guy with a quick release that this defense struggled with a little bit last year. That quick release, Clowney was there a few times, and he was mic'd up for that game. He talked about it. That ball is getting out hot, so it's going to be good to face Jimmy Garoppolo. And if you really think about it, last year at the Greenbrier, the Patriots came, they faced quarterbacks that they were going to face in the regular season, all of them. Tom Brady, they faced in week three. They faced Garoppolo when he came with the 49ers, and they faced Jacoby Brissett twice as the starting quarterback for the Colts. And unfortunately, those four quarterbacks went 4-0 against the Texans. So let's hope that doesn't happen this year. But it does appear from the 49ers side that they've confirmed that the joint practices will happen with the Texans. So hopefully next week OTAs will remember to ask Coach O'Brien about that. But I do believe that it will be the 49ers. I believe coming here, but the 49ers and Texans will have joint practices. It's just a matter of where it is before that second preseason game. So there you go. Appreciate you guys being here with me for Cooler Talk presented by Arctic. You can check everything out at HoustonTexans.com. You see that right there on the screen, HoustonTexans.com, for everything you're looking for, written articles, videos. Dear Drew. Drew made a fool of me this week on Dear Drew, so you definitely want to check it out. Got radio tonight, Sports Radio 610. You can also get that from our Texans app as well. Appreciate you guys being here. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Everybody have a great weekend.